This episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. And while I can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions like navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that is the theme to this week in Survivor. Thank you to Will from America. And we're about to get into another busy week in Survivor. First, let me bring in my fellow podcaster on this week in Survivor. Please welcome Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing great. How's it going?
Doing very excited because it's always a treat when we get to talk to this man. He is a staple of Rob Has a Podcast and has been for many years. I am very excited to bring back our great friend, of course, the author of How Fantasy Sports Explains the World. And yes, it's hot in here, from ESPN.com, Mr. AJ Mass.
Yes, I'm returning again to the podcast, which I'm sure puts a target on my back, but I promise I will not be apologizing.
Okay. All right. AJ, happy to have you back with us here to talk about this week in Survivor. A lot of people had been asking for you. When are you going to get into the archetypes? And we're not going to get down to 13 players in this season.
No, we are never, ever, ever getting down to 13 players, it seems. We lost Big Wendy.
Yeah.
We came on God with Keith. Yeah, no, it just never happened.
Okay. So maybe we'll get into that a little bit here today with AJ Mass. AJ, how are you?
I'm doing good. Baseball season is just about a month in now, and so it's my busy time of year, but I'm enjoying having a little the old-time classic baseball on the TV, and of course, a Survivor season is never a bad thing to help pass the time.
Okay. Yeah, my older son has been, he's actually very interested in mascots. Of course, I stan the King Cake Baby also, AJ. So there's another mascot-related news.
Sure, those New Orleans baby cakes are, it's a fine minor league franchise.
No, of the Pelicans, that they have a seasonal mascot also.
I understand. I'm just saying that there was another baby cake type mascot already. So,
okay. Well, I don't want to hear about that other, that one's my ops, that I'm only the Pelicans King Cake Baby stan. Okay. AJ, let's talk about this week where the War Dog ended up going home after he made the big move on Kelly Wentworth. A lot of twists and turns in this season. Have you enjoyed The Edge of Extinction?
I have, for the most part. I think we got a pretty good upper echelon cast. There are a bunch of people who may not be getting the edit with all the returning players in there, but now that all the returners are gone, I think they're getting a little more chance to get their time in the spotlight. And I don't really think there is a weak player there in terms of someone I'm enjoying watching. I just wish that perhaps the edit was a little bit more even.
Do you have a favorite player of the people that are left in terms of who you enjoy watching?
I've really liked Victoria all season. I think that she's playing a really smart game. I don't know if it's an attention-grabbing enough game that she can win. Kind of like the Hannah Shapiro type game where I think she's doing a lot, but I don't know that even if she argues very well at Final Tribal that the rest of her players are going to see what we see in terms of what she's doing, because a lot of what she's doing is really only being revealed in the confessionals.
Okay. What about in terms of War Dog going home this week?
I was sad to see Pumbaa go. Pumbaa, because he's a war dog, right?
Yes. I got that right? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was sorry to see him go just in terms of the entertainment factor, but I'm not sorry to see him go in that I didn't want him to win. I wasn't really a fan of his personality, kind of rubbed me the wrong way on the show. So, but he's not really gone. I mean, is anyone truly gone this season? As long as you don't.
As long as you remember them, they're not truly gone.
Well, you know what? Well, then again, depending on what kind of. I really don't know what kind of challenge could get him back into the game, because he hasn't been very good at challenges. But I mean, where there's life, there's hope.
Yeah. Did they send him to the Genesis planet?
Yeah.
That's kind of like edge of extinction.
The need of the many outweigh the needs of the one. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite of the four returning players who came back this season that you were rooting for?
Well, it's hard for me not to have been on Team David. Not only with the, you know, similarity to my longtime love of the New York Mets, mm-hmm. and therefore anybody named David Wright is going to be number five in my book. But David Wright's also been on my Beat My Guest podcast. So, of course, I'm great. Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Fellow Syracuse Orange. So we bonded over that. And so, of course, I'm going to be rooting for David.
Okay. Well, AJ, I know you are a fan of quizzes. We'll see if you still like quizzes after Jordan Kalish gets through with you later today.
I know David Wright was not such a big fan of the quiz when he was on here, and I believe did not get a question right.
We were just preparing him for what was going to go on the Edge of Extinction. Okay.
Indeed.
All right. So, AJ, I know that every season we like to do the archetypes, the 13 archetypes of the people, that if this was a perfectly structured group of 13, you'd have one person from all these different categories. This system that you developed, which you outlined in the book, How Fantasy Sports Explains the World. Did you have any people from this season that you felt were going to be people that were slam dunks for any of your archetypes?
Yeah, well, you know, what I like to do is I like to actually wait until there are 13 people left in the season to actually write it down. Unfortunately, there were so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people still on. There never was actually that particular number. But at the time when there were four people on the Edge of Extinction, there was indeed 13 spots left. I just lumped all the Edge of Extinctions together as one personality there, making the my normal X factor became the Edge factor.
Ooh.
So, who, you know, because it's always been the person who's different, and the person who returns to the game with like five or six left is going to be different than everybody else. So that was kind of where I took care of that. I could run down really quickly all the archetypes and the people who met them.
Fire away.
Sure. So fresh meat, which is basically the most inexperienced person of the group, or one who just never really seems to get their feet wet into the game. I had Julia.
Okay.
The ninja, someone who's kind of gotten the purple edit, the invisible edit, and quite frankly, even with so few people left, Gavin, I mean, I really don't know that we see much of Gavin. He's kind of like an ancillary player here. I forget he's around a lot. Mm-hmm. So that would be my ninja. The cheerleader is kind of, you know, anything for the team. The team has to stick together. Usually a motherly type. That would be Julie.
Mm-hmm.
We have the loose cannon. Now, Reem would have been a perfect loose cannon, but of course, Reem is not still quote unquote in the game.
Lame.
So the loose cannon is someone who you just don't know what they're going to do, who they're going to vote for. And that would be Aurora. I think Aurora is the loose cannon in this season, that you just really don't know which side she's going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissist, usually a pretty boy, someone who just, you know, the guns and the six pack, and that's kind of what they're all about. That would be Eric. In terms of the old reliable, even though this is someone who doesn't necessarily play like the old reliable, who's usually the, you know, the cowboy Rick, you know, the kind of the guy who's kind of like, you know, rough and gruff and kind of an older guy. in this particular season, David Wright kind of fills that job. Solid in the challenges. You know where he's gonna be every single time. You know where he's gonna vote. And of course, you know, I don't know if you've heard this, but loyalty is his game. You know,
I do love that only in the context of talking about the old reliable in the AJ Mass 13 archetypes does cowboy rancher Rick ever get mentioned in Survivor lore.
Oh, you know.
That's like his claim to fame. He's like, old reliable? That's me.
Well, I mean, it's not like he's Keith driving a tuk-tuk, which we saw once again on The Amazing Race come back, the tuk-tuks. But we've got the marriage of convenience. Beta comes in here. We're going to skip that for a moment. We got the idiot savant, the person who's making a lot of decisions. They seem to be working, even though I question most of them, and that would be Ron. I don't think he's playing a good game. I think he's very overrated. I don't think that he's nearly as good as he thinks he is, quite frankly.
Okay.
In terms of Captain Loophole, someone who knows the game inside and out, someone who really has studied the history of the game, possibly a super fan, that's got to be Devins. I mean, there's no question that he fills that role. In terms of, like I said, the X factor would come in fourth, and that's basically the edge factor. Anyone, you know, Joe, Aubrey, Chris, Reeb, anyone from those four who were on the island at this point definitely were part of that. And then you had the mad scientist, the person who's always scheming and plotting, never content to stick with the status quo. You know, that's War Dog in a nutshell. He just, it's the Tony Vlachos, archetype. It's totally War Dog. And then you have the other half of the marriage of convenience, two people who are working together, not necessarily because they, you know, were day one alliances, but simply because fate kind of tied them together and they've stuck with each other. And it could be a showmance. That's not the case this season. This would be Wentworth would be marriage part one. Lauren would be marriage part two. They kind of were two peas in a pod. That kind of worked out. And then comes the diplomat, who is the person who can kind of communicate with all sides, can kind of at least have conversations with everybody. And that would be Victoria. I mean, Victoria was the diplomat this season, certainly, especially when the tribes started falling apart there. Kama Strong was not so strong. I mean, she was able to at least steer things where she wanted to go. And she was like always a pilot. Like, pilots and pastors, you know. I don't have this as an archetype, but there's more than pilots and passengers. Who's the most important person on the plane? Quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, it's the flight attendant.
Right.
We need to worry about the flight attendants.
Mm-hmm. What about the air traffic controllers?
Well, you know, I go back to the Reagan administration. I think you can fire all the air traffic controllers and, you know, nothing will go wrong.
They're the ones telling the pilots what to do. That might be even more important.
That's like production.
That's probes. It's probes.
Yeah. I'll allow it.
Okay. All right. So, AJ, thank you for going through all that and sharing it with us. And now we are down to just seven people in the game. And this is a question I've been enjoying asking the guests this season. Who's going to win?
Yeah, right? I'm not convinced that this type of jury isn't going to respect the fact that someone has returned. I most of the jury is going to be made up of people who have been on the edge of extinction. And so there might be some island bonding going on there that might tilt it in that. That's why I don't really love the fact that, out day one Reem is still going to be on the jury. I don't really... It's almost like how much my hatred is of like a Last Chance Kitchen is on Top Chef.
But I know people mention Last Chance Kitchen, but is Last Chance Kitchen regarded as something unpopular with the fans of Top Chef?
It's hard to know because there isn't as much of a Top Chef community the way there is a Survivor community. I know that I'm pretty sure I could speak for the
Kirk Clark.
The Kirk Clark of it all. But, I know Antonio and Josh are not necessarily the biggest fans of it. I'm not a big fan of it either. It is, like I said, I don't have a problem with it. I think you said this. I don't necessarily have a problem with it if one person comes out, like Devin's coming back. If that had been the end of it, I would have been totally fine with it. It's like, there's still enough time for, okay, we can send him right packing right then, or we can use him, you know, and if he survives that long from, you know, basically at the merge or pre-merge going forward, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. It's the second comeback that it's just like, no, I don't want anyone who's played more time on this island or possibly going out twice. That just is not something I want to see. It changes the game too much.
It's a good point.
It was fine when they didn't know about it too. Like it was also like, okay, it's a surprise. We bring it back. You know, they've done it before. Whoa, I'm back in the game. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole lil of it all, but you know, you can do that as a surprise twist once every, you know, seasons, and I'll be okay with it. It's just, once they kept it, it's like, you know, the thing with Last Chance Kitchen is they would bring people back Final Four and they'd only have to win one challenge and then they could win the whole thing. And it's just like, I get that feel here. It's like, okay, you're back. Congratulations. You've won your way back by beating all of these losers. Now all you have to do is make fire and you're in the finale. That just seems odd.
Right. AJ, and we have this in like scripted TV also. I feel like that, you know, Heroes had this a little bit, and The Walking Dead certainly has this, where then once you start where, you know, somebody died, but then it's like, oh, wait, they're not really dead. They're back. You know, it loses a lot of stakes.
Yes. I mean, anytime you have a show, scripted television where magic is involved, it does lower the stakes, and you have to then really start doing some tortured scripts revisions where it's like, well, only magical deaths can be undone. This wasn't a magical death. You know, you got that on Buffy when they couldn't bring Tara back. You know, you have, you know, Jon Snow can come back, but oh, you know, There's a statute of limitations. He can only revive so many times. You know, you're going to start getting into tortured logic that Jon Snow can't come back again and again and again if he just happens to bump into Vondarian, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. AJ, I want to ask you about one of the moments from this week in Survivor. And there was a debate between Ron and Aurora on how much they were going to eat while everybody else was on the reward. And so let me play this clip from the episode. This was Aurora versus Ron on rice portions.
Just do one cup.
Aurora.
Ron, we've got to keep going on this. We don't actually have that much left.
But you're portioning out as if we're going to have this many people.
No, one cup for four is going to be perfectly fine.
Aurora, you're not the rice Nazi.
Okay. I was certainly thinking of the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. And AJ, I was going to ask you if maybe do you see any other Seinfeld subplots which could potentially come up here on this season of Survivor, The Edge of Extinction?
Ah, Seinfeld subplots. Well, how about instead of, you know, love the Drake, hate the Drake, love the Devons, hate the Devons.
Yeah. Now, do you love the Devons or you hate the Devons?
It depends on the week, quite frankly. I love the Devons as a personality, and he's great entertainment value. But I did not love the Devons when he kind of turned on David and said, oh, I'm done with you five. I'm going with the other tribe. Come strong for me. Like, and I understood it, but I didn't love it in terms of strategy. So, yeah, there is a love-hate relationship going on there with the Devons.
Jordan, do you have any Seinfeld subplots that you could work into The Edge of Extinction?
I feel like something with Wendy and the chickens, like a chicken roasters reopens up in on their street and Wendy's trying to shut it down. I think there could be something there.
Okay. Is there a red light that's keeping everybody awake all night?
There's a red light that's keeping everybody awake.
You should put that on the Edge of Extinction, a big Kenny Rogers roasters sign.
Dude, you don't need this light.
I mean, there also seems to be like, let's see, we could have a tribal council. Suddenly they go in and there's the Merv Griffin set. So they have to kind of sit on each other's laps because there's not enough room in Kramer's apartment for a tribal council. Well, and of course, you know, with the whole talk about pooping in the ocean, I mean, that just reminds me of Poppy sitting on the couch. So.
Yeah. And Kelly also that, you know, she's, you know, hoarding all these idols. But unfortunately, she's never thinking that any of these tribal councils are idol worthy. She's just, she's keeping, well, you know, keeping them in a closet all the time. And unfortunately, she isn't ever taking them out.
It brings us right back to the rice debate. She doesn't have a grain to spare.
I heard that the final four immunity challenge is actually the contest.
Oh boy! All right, all right. Take it easy.
Strike one this week.
All right, AJ. On that note, anything else about the season at large that you want to talk about?
You know, like I said, the whole Edge of Extinction twist is notwithstanding. I do think just bringing returning players back. I think we finally have hit the tipping point where the new players are not in awe of them. And I think that's a good sign, because if they're going to continue going forward in these split seasons, actually voting them out as soon as they can and making that an active thing, perhaps CBS and casting will just stop doing it. I much prefer to have either, you know, an all-star season or a new people season. And I just don't like the game as much when they're combined. And this was the first time where it was actually fun to, you know, I liked seeing Joe and Aubrey and Wentworth and David again, don't get me wrong, but it was nice when these guys were just not hearing it, not doing the Boston Rob worship that, you know, goes on most of these times.
AJ, do you think it will swing back at some point? Do you think that is this season going to be enough where if they bring returnees back with new players, that then the new players won't be so focused on the returning players?
You know, it's always recency bias of what, you know, the trends tend to go in the direction of, you know, who won the last season that these people saw or the season before that. And so, you know, you get your trend of, okay, you got to watch out for the Cochran types for a while. And then it's like, oh, we got to watch out for the Tony types. And, you know, then suddenly the Cochran types can get through again. I think you're just going to see that if there's a combined season coming up in the next three seasons, I think they'll act more like this season and vote them off. And if they don't, you know, if I'm wrong, or, you know, if the season after that the more distant you get, then it will turn, because these seasons are all so reactionary. I do think it's kind of a pendulum that swings back and forth, and we're never going to get the happy medium, quite frankly, because, you know, people are people.
Okay.
I mean, if you ask me who I think is going to win, I think Lauren's going to win. I think she's getting the edit.
Oh,
I think I do.
This is kind of a hot take, AJ.
I think she's going to win. I don't necessarily want her to win, but I just think that, you know, she's got the immunity idol still. It's going to, if she plays at the right time, if the right person comes back. And I think if you get to the end there, I do think she has the best argument once she gets there.
Okay.
And I just don't know. I don't know if Aubrey's going to give it to her. Just, you know, there might be a little bit of Michelle. But I do think she has a really good case for herself if she gets there to the end.
Yeah, and I feel like what I agree with you, AJ, that Victoria is playing a fantastic game, and I think if you look at the vote, she's really been the one who has been in the majority, I believe, on every single vote. But I think if she, the fact that she's playing such a good game, but she's still not, especially the past couple weeks, getting such a great edit, she hasn't been the most visible, kind of makes me worried about her. But I think her winning would make for an exciting season.
I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, I always go back to Hannah Shapiro, because Hannah Shapiro, in my mind, maybe this is a hot take, I thought she won her final tribal. I thought she made the best argument. There was no way she was winning. It just, you know, the emotional story and everything, it just wasn't going to happen. But I honestly think she won that tribal. So just because you have an argument and can plead your case, and I think Victoria might be able to plead her case, it doesn't mean it's going to be heard. And that's the issue.
Okay. All right. I want to get into the week in Survivor social media. And to kick this off, let me bring in the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They seem breezy and free. They make me want to scream. La cheeserie. Tweets.
Now, AJ, were you familiar with that that reference to your colleague, Tony Kornheiser?
No, I was not. I haven't listened to Tony in a very long time. I know there was one point when my book came out, he mentioned my book. Pete had some nice things to say about that. But no, I was unfamiliar with this as a catchphrase. I mean, I know the Sklar brothers, and they like to scream Henderson, but
yeah,
maybe someone going to challenge and go Henderson.
Yeah.
Do you think Devins is going to make a Michael Wilbon reference in the next episode?
I think he's got a better chance of doing a Stat Boy reference.
Yeah. Okay. Dominic Abate tweeted about that, because I was surprised that that was in the episode when I found out that it was a reference, that Dominic Abate said to me, I tried to sneak one in when I was out there playing. I was waiting for at Jeff Probst to use the word buoy so I could follow up with a Baba buoy. He said it in this week's immunity challenge, and Rick followed up with La Cheeserie, hashtag opportunity wasted, hashtag Robert A. Buoy. And I wanted to know, AJ, if you were on Survivor and you won an immunity challenge, what would be your go-to call out?
That's a very good question there. I mean, since somebody already stole the dead DJ impression and long distance dedication impression.
Yes.
Rob.
What you would do? You would shout out to Casey Kasem?
Casey's very busy.
That's a great question. Do you think that in 2003, do you think that Casey Kasem was made aware that somebody did an impression of him on Survivor? Because that was never a thought in my mind of like, oh wait until Casey Kasem sees this. He'll probably look me up.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so, although Jean Kasem was probably aware of it. And hi, Gangy Tooth. She would probably know all about it and just smile. I'm an improviser by nature. I don't think I would go out there with anything planned. I'm sure I would slip into a myriad of impersonations. I probably end up talking like Drew Barrymore with a lisp at some point. Men for each other, great couple throughout history. I probably would do that at some point, but it would probably just be a situational thing. I don't think I'd come up with any plan to shout out Let's Go Mets or anything like that.
Esco Mets. Jordan, do you have one thing that you would yell out?
Maybe I'd go full John Sterling and go like, Kalish wins, immunity challenge over, Kalish wins.
No, Jordan, if I was gonna go that route though, I would probably in my house we don't curse, we shout Roger Clemens.
Of all the dramatic things, John.
Roger Clemens is standing. Oh my gosh, it's so incredible.
He's in the owner's box. We've never gotten Susan Waldman on This Week in Survivor. This is great.
Yeah, I'm sure people were clamoring for it, waiting, counting down the moments for Susan Waldman impressions
besides
Survivor
Michael
podcast.
J. Clark, how many listeners of this podcast are getting this reference right now?
Of all the impressions that we could be hearing on this podcast. Goodness gracious. Okay.
Well, that's Survivor, Susan.
Okay. So I think a lot of the Survivor viewers were really stumped about the La Cheeserie and what does and it mean?
It's the title of the episode, right?
I think it was, and then it was changed because that to me, that this is something that I feel like that Jeff Probst would really, like knowing Jeff Probst a little bit, I feel like that this is something that he would not really like or embrace. And I wonder if maybe whoever was producing the episode thought it was funny. And I wonder if at some point powers that be said, no way, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. But I really was surprised it was still in the episode, because I think that Jim Rice has talked about that. He did do the Baba Booey one when he won immunity. And I don't think it was highlighted on the show. And Jeff Probst is a noted Howard Stern fan. And he was not crazy about that.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get away with that one, just because that one has been so obviously front and center for so many years, with people calling into news broadcasts and screwing live reports from the situations where it was.
Now you'd be better off to hit him with the hine at Tribal Council.
Yeah, quite frankly, I don't even think that perhaps on international versions of Survivor you're going to get away with wearing the bell shirt too much anymore. I think you slipped that one through the cracks.
Yeah, maybe only at reunions. But that being said, Gabby Pascuzzi tweeted out a infographic to Rick Devins of the chart of La Cheesery interest over time. Big spike in people searching La Cheesery on on Wednesday night after Rick Devins brought it to national attention. Yeah. So kudos. Yeah,
I didn't actually even hear it the first time. I thought he was doing a shout out to Lucky Siri, but you know.
Yeah.
That's so brave of her to finish the challenge.
Yeah. All right. Aurora tweeted out, she had a picture of a bagel, and she said, looks like they used Survivor Portions rules on this everything bagel. Hashtag not acceptable. Hashtag rice Nazi. Not a lot of toppings on her everything bagel.
As long as she doesn't cut them, into slices for dipping, I think she'll be okay.
Yeah, that would be really upsetting to Ron and the other survivors. Okay. All right. The War Dog had a interesting tweet this week that he was getting a question from David Bloomberg about what happened. And the War Dog responded, "My peoples at Survivor CBS have cracked down on us talking so much during the season, so I think you're going to have to wait for the retrospective, but I think if you know math, and I think if you saw the key combos with those who were left out of the vote, you could probably understand why 9 had to be the number." So interesting that it looks like, especially after maybe some of the Survivor press conferences from a couple of weeks ago, Jordan, that might have been a tipping point.
Yeah, I mean, he's pointing out people who do know math. I'm clearly not one of those people. But what I do like about War Dog here, first of all, he's been accused of potentially some spoilery tweets, and I kind of see maybe why he's not continuing to do that. But I got to give him credit here. First of all, I think this has been a pro War Dog podcast for the whole season. He's been great TV. He pulled off a lot of great moves, and I really like when players have this attitude when they get voted out that they give credit to the other players in the game. He doesn't seem bitter at all, and he understands why they would want to vote him out. He didn't take it personally.
I'm not so sure, Jordan. I'm not so sure. He's still going to Edge. He's not out of the game.
That's a good point.
I think a lot of these blindsides might have been received a little differently if they towards this back half of the season if they were really leaving. So I don't know that we know that.
What's the Edge challenge that War Dog is going to win?
Tweet off.
Five goes into 9. Four goes to. wait a second. Culpepper's not on the island. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I would like to see it be. I would almost like to see it be something where you can take all of the endurance out. And if you're going to get these people back in, have it be one of those. We ask the people who are still in the game this question, and what did the most people say? Something like that. The rest of you on the island, what did you say?
I like that a lot. I haven't heard anyone suggest that, but I think that's a great idea. Because then at least you need to have some sort of like social capital in the game in order to get back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to see, but it's not going to happen. It's not good television visually, so that's why it's not going to happen. It hasn't been interesting to see a quiz since Rudy was going around saying, "I don't know."
Yeah, I think Survivor quizzes are very interesting.
All right. So somebody was really fired up on Twitter this week, and it was none other than legendary Survivor Twitter figure, Farm Guy 69, AJ.
Indeed. What did Papa have to say?
Okay. So Mike Bloom said, "Has anyone else ever noticed that War Dog has a top knot on his buff? That might be the first ever buff man bun," says Mike Bloom. And then Farm Guy 69 says, "When you mention a bun and associate it with a dog, all I see is," and then he tweeted a picture of a poodle. And then the War Dog said, "That's too bad. When you make the merge, it helps you see more clearly. Try it sometime." And Dale Wentworth said, "Don't you have anything new, Dan? That one is getting old." And the war dog said, not as old as you coming at me unprovoked. So war dog versus farm guy 69 is on.
Wow, that is awesome. A little throwdown. You know, anytime any of these little Twitter feuds come out of nowhere, you just have to think in the back of your mind, are they just doing this to try and possibly get on a return season?
It's not coming out of nowhere. That to me, I mean, Farm Guy 69 is a little bit like a little league dad of Twitter right now, AJ.
Fair enough. You know, it's kind of funny. I just binged Russian Doll on Netflix. And what really took me out of the series is that there's a character named War Dog in Russian Doll. And it's an Indian guy with a turban. And so you're talking about this having, you know, headgear talking about War Dog. It's interesting how that's coming out at around the same time.
Yeah. So our own Shannon Gates tweeted out, Reem, since you were voted out, Kelly lost every pre-swap challenge, stayed in her terrible tribe, went to a double tribal, was blindsided at the merge, wrestled back the numbers, and was voted out with an idol in her pocket. Does it look like she wants to talk to you about day three? And then another tweeter named Deanna said, oh, also, Reem got herself voted out. She needs to stop blaming others for what she did to herself. Here comes Farm Guy 69 again and says, yes, Kelly blamed herself for getting voted out. Reem, spelt R-H-E-E-M, is a cranky P-I-A, which is why she is on E-O-E. And then Reem came back and said, my name is spelled Reem. Your comment explains a lot. Thank you. So Reem is taking on Farm Guy 69.
Anyone who tells Reem that she shouldn't be getting on other players and arguing with people is automatically incorrect.
That happens to be Reem's biggest weapon. You know, she survived those days by herself, and she can make it as intolerable for everybody else on that island, and she is relaxed and groovy. I mean, that's her capital in the game, because she still has a chance to get back in this and to annoy everybody else to the point where they're just not even paying attention to any of these, you know, surprise advantages that might crop up, or just to kill the spirits of everybody else. That's a strategy at this point.
AJ, do you think that Reem is practicing a form of psychological warfare, or is this just Reem?
Oh, I think it's just Reem, but I certainly do. But, you know, it's also, let's be honest. I think it was a very telling edit in this last episode when, as angry as she was and still harboring all these feelings that she didn't get a chance to attack Kelly with, you know, the mother came out and was like, look, you're going to burn yourself. Come back inside into the shade. You've been out here a long time. I think there's probably a lot more of that going on. It doesn't necessarily fit into the TV character of Reem that you've turned into a wonderful impression. But I think there's a lot more of human Reem going on there. And it may not be on brand for Survivor, but I think when the person first gets there, though, it's warfare. It's strategy. Absolutely.
Before the season started, didn't Jeff say that like this was the point of the Edge of Extinction, that he thought that a lot of people were going to be doing this to try to get others to quit? We really haven't seen that. The closest we've seen is Reem like really just like blasting people when they get to the Edge of Extinction.
Well, when we do our 6-hour deep dive with Reem at the end of the season, she can tell us about like, listen, dude, that was my strategy from day 4 on. I was going to make life a living hell for anybody that was going to come through there, dude.
Quite frankly, I would, you know, we all know that Reem is so entertaining and we're so happy that she's at least had that kind of screen time. But, you know, I think we should start calling her, you know, Palpatream, because she could just be sitting there. Oh, look at that sail. So easily could be raised. You know you want to raise it. Go ahead. Raise the sail. Leave the island. Strike me down. You will become stronger.
Is that what happened to Keith?
I believe so.
Dude, I'm not your mom, but I would raise that sail if I were you. Gabby had a tweet conversation with the War Dog this week. She said, all caps, if you're seeing this tweet and don't want to be spoiled for Survivor Tonight, mute me now. I'm sorry. I tweeted a spoiler, but I can't delete it because I share eighth place with I Am War Dog. Ha 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 ha. Good game, dude. And then he responded, not over yet. And she said, War Dog, my man, I've seen you in challenges.
Point, Miss Piscuzzi.
Zing!
Indeed.
Yes. Does not look great for the returnee prospects for the War Dog, AJ.
Yeah, the War Dog, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think a War Dog, let's say hypothetically he is the one who comes back, what do you think that looks like? Because we saw Rick come back, and he had a little bit of a ream streak to him in that first vote when he said he was going to refuse to work with his former Lessee members. What does War Dog plus ream look like? What is this character? Because I feel like that could be very entertaining.
It's going to be one character, or are you trying to talk about what's going to happen next week?
Well, no. Let's say hypothetically that War Dog is the one who comes back from extinction. Like we've said in the past that like when Rick came back, a little bit of Ream rubbed off on him. What does War Dog plus Ream look like if Ream were rubbed off on War Dog?
I don't know. I mean, I think that War Dog, one of his problems was that he was a little too much speaking his mind with people. And we saw that with Gavin and that being one of the problems. So I don't know how much more he can speak his mind.
Yeah, I think you might have a point there.
This is very true. I think War Dog, if anything, might try and come back humble. I mean, it's not going to work. But, you know, for at least the first few minutes, I can see him, you know, pulling everybody aside for their, you know, daily 5-minute private pep talk and be very humble and apologetic and everything. But that's still not going to stop him from plotting and scheming too much. And that's why War Dog lost.
Okay. All right. That's a different podcast. All right. Yeah. So I want to get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz, and Jordan is chomping at the bit. But first, let me thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Legacy Box. And Legacy Box, what they do is they turn your old home movies into things you can actually watch now, whether it's a DVD or a digital download or a thumb drive. You send them in whatever footage you have, whether it's your old videos of appearing on MTV game shows or anything that you were doing in mascot costumes, whatever you have lying around that you want to preserve for future generations. What you do is you hit up LegacyBox.com, and they've got a great offer for our listeners, LegacyBox.com/Rob, to get 40% off. You can be the hero of your entire family when you go ahead and get all of those old home movies set up with Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. Over a decade of experience, they'll send you a safe box to put your old home movies and pictures. They do the rest, professionally digitizing your moments onto the thumb drive, digital download, or DVD with easy to follow instructions and safety barcodes included for every item. You'll receive all your original recorded moments back, along with the perfectly preserved digital copies with up to 12 personalized email updates. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners that exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob to get 40% off your first order. That's at LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past, and there's nobody who is preserving the past of Survivor out there today like Mr. Jordan Kalish with his This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Okay.
Yes, we have another quiz here. But before we get to things that happened in the past, I meant to ask AJ one more question about something that's happening in the present. Just I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this here. Which Survivor Edge of Extinction contestant would be the best mascot?
Well, Ream is the mascot of Ream. The Edge of Extinction. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. I figure that's what you're going
to
say.
Totally unafraid to yeah. I mean, she wouldn't fit in every ballpark, but certainly she could give the Philly fanatic / gritty that Philadelphia vibe for their money. Absolutely.
Yes.
We got to see the Philly fanatic at the Mets Phillies game before Know It Alls last week. It was the first time I'd ever been to that ballpark, so I'd never seen the fanatic in person. I thought he did a great job.
Let me ask AJ this question. If the Philly fanatic was a survivor, which survivor player would he be?
All right. Let's see. Because
he's a troublemaker.
He is a troublemaker. And there have only been two people who have been the Philly fanatic since the inception in the late 70s. Dave Raymond did it through till 93. And then Tom Burgoyne is still doing it.
Wow.
Every time I see him, I said, I saw him last summer. I was like, so this is it? He's like, no, two more years. So he's always like, two more years. So he doesn't know when to
like
stop.
Like me with this podcast.
Back. Yeah. Well, I would say so in that sense, very much, believe it or not, I'd say very much a Boston Rob type.
Hey, I ain't no Philly fanatic.
Well, he's not Wally the Green Monster. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan.
Yes.
I told AJ because we don't have all day today that we're gonna skip the rules this week.
Skip the rules. Okay. We're going to the quiz. We have four.
AJ, you know the rules, right?
He's going to ask. I'm not going to know the answer. I'm going to just answer anyway. And yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And you get two points if you don't get the multiple choice. But then I could steal it. Okay.
When do we start singing? Stop with that!
No, this is not the wand off.
You keep getting on the wrong podcast. But yes, I have my four multiple choice questions that we're going to start with. The categories are Damn Birthday Bro, Loved Ones 1, Loved Ones 2, and Splits McGee.
Hmm. Yeah, AJ, you have the floor. Yes. Yes. You're the guest.
All right. Well, then let's go with Loved Ones 1.
Okay. We're going to go to Survivor Exile Island. The episode is Bamboozled from May 4th, 2006, 13 years ago Saturday. Terry won the Exile Island Loved Ones Reward Challenge and was given the power to allocate how much love he and his fellow castaways got. Who did he give the worst reward to, which included just a goodbye, no hug, and a trip to Exile Island without their loved one?
Mm-hmm.
So you can either you can answer now without the multiple choice for 2 points. Rob would get a chance to steal if you get it wrong, or you could hear the multiple choice.
Oh, I'll take the multiple choice.
Okay. It's A, Aris, B, Ceri, C, Danielle, D, Shane.
Let's see. Well, since Shane often ends up on the short end of the stick, I will go with Shane.
Shane is incorrect. He actually takes Shane and his son Boston on the reward with him. The answer was Danielle. So Danielle is the answer there. You do not get a point. And we go to Rob's question. Rob, you get the next category, either Damn Birthday Bro, Loved Ones 2, or Splits McGee.
I will go with... I'll take Splits McGee.
Splits McGee. We're going to Survivor Karamoan, The Beginning of the End from May 1st, 2013, 6 years ago Wednesday. Andrea Belkey was voted out this week in Survivor history in both Survivor Redemption Island and Karamoan, but we are going to focus on Karamoan for this question. She received 3 votes out of the 7, which at this tribal was enough to send her home. Brenda received 2 votes. Who was the one other person to receive votes at this tribal?
I am going to, I'll guess here, and I will guess that it was Eddie. Eddie? Sorry, can I change my answer? Is it too late? Is that
up to you?
I meant to say Reynolds.
Reynolds is incorrect.
Yes.
And AJ, you get a chance to steal.
Well, I have always been of the mind that you should never go against your gut. So since his gut was Eddie, I will go with Eddie.
Rob, you should have stuck with your gut. AJ gets the point.
Okay.
Shouldn't have changed it. Reynolds was not. Yeah, Reynolds not in the game at this point. Eddie was part of the vote.
He went
split.
Out in the first double boot in that episode, right?
Correct. It was the same episode. But yeah, Andrea voted for Brenda, hoping to vote her out. In case Andrea played the idol, Eddie was going to be the one who would have gone home on the revote. So AJ, you get a point there, and you also get the next question. We have Loved Ones 2 or Damn Birthday Bro.
Let us go with Loved Ones 2, since it did so well on Loved Ones 1.
Then we're going to Micronesia. The episode is I'm Gonna Fix Her, from May 1st, 2008, 11 years ago, Wednesday. Who won the Micronesia Loved Ones Challenge, in which he or she got to go to Jellyfish Lake? And we're doing a lot of Loved Ones this week, with the Loved Ones Challenge coming up on Edge of Extinction.
All right, I will go with your multiple choice, please.
Okay, was it A, Alexis Jones, B, Amanda Kimmel, C, Eric Reichenbach, D, Parvati Shallow?
Let us go with Parvati.
Parvati is incorrect. It was actually Alexis Jones. She takes Suri on the reward. And Amanda Kimmel, I believe she took Suri and Natalie with her on the reward. Amanda Kimmel is sent to Exile Island. She actually asked to go to Exile, which is where she finds the idol that idols Alexis Jones out of the game at the final six. So you don't get a point there, but you do have a 1-0 lead since you stole the point on the previous question. Rob, you have one more question. We're going to go Damn Birthday Bro. This is Survivor Marquesas. The episode is The Princess.
Okay.
From May 2nd, 2002, 17 years ago Thursday. Who celebrated their birthday at the Marquesas Final 7?
Who celebrated their birthday at the Marquesas Final 7? Let me hear the choices.
Sure. Was it A, Kathy, B, Sean Rector, C, Tammy Leitner, D, Vesepia?
When you said Vesepia, that did ring a bell. I'll say Vesepia.
Vesepia is correct. Sean was not so happy when Pascal won the reward challenge and took Nalia with him, despite the fact that it was Vesepia's birthday. But they made a big deal about it at camp, Sean saying happy birthday to her. So yeah. It was a nice...
Vesepia does not like getting passed over for things.
No, she does not.
She does not care for... She does not care for that.
Yeah. Well, but that would never happen. So let's... You are tied 1-1. And we are going to go to the death match.
We're tied.
Wow. Does that mean that we go to Purple Rock because we just talked about Marquesas?
No, we have
a final round. There's a final round after the multiple choice questions. You could both earn points on this round. I'm going to ask you questions about the Loved Ones Challenge from Survivor All-Stars. Don't worry, AJ. This is fair. Rob was not around at this point. So
yeah, I'm aware.
and was actively not watching.
So I'm going to ask you questions. There's going to be there's going to be two multiple choice options. One of them is correct. One of them is incorrect. If you get the correct answer, you get a point. If you answer incorrectly, you cannot answer any more points on this question. So basically there's four of these and we're going to go till we have a winner. And then there's a tiebreaker after that in case we need it. So who was the, and by the way, the questions this week, you're not going to pick a random number, because the questions have to go in a particular order. You'll see why in a little bit. So, AJ, you're the guest since
you're
tied,
fishy
you're going
to
go first. Well, I didn't know who was going to, if it was going to be a tie or who was going to be winning. It doesn't really matter. It's not that any of them are harder than the other ones. It's just, you'll see why if we get to that point.
Okay.
So AJ, who was the first person out of the challenge? Was it, and by the way, let me just describe what the challenge was. It was the gross food eating challenge. Each round, one person was eliminated. So who was the first person out of the challenge? Was it Amber's mom or Rupert's wife, Laura Bonham?
Well, there is no way that, Rupert's wife, Laura Bonham, would be eliminated first in anything Survivor-related at all, so I'm going to go with Amber's mom.
Amber's mom is correct. So, AJ, you get the point. You take a 2-1 lead. Rob, who won the challenge? Was it Boston Rob's brother, Mike, or Tom's son, Bucky Bo?
I believe it was Bucky Bo.
Bucky Bo is correct. Rob, you get a point. We continue. It is 2-2. AJ, who was eliminated for illegally drinking water while eating? Was it Jenna's brother or Shean's mom?
Illegally drinking water. I don't think it's going to be Shean's mom, so I'll say she was in the clear.
She was in the clear, yes. Jenna's brother was eliminated by default. He took a drink of water in the middle of eating a tarantula, which was not allowed. It was specified. Some people sometimes have a hard time with rules when it comes to challenges. So you do get the point there. You have a 3-2 lead.
Who is that a shot at?
I don't know. Wasn't a shot at anybody.
Just in general, people that have problems with rules or challenges?
People don't. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. Sometimes people have a hard time figuring out rules. But you have a 3-2 lead. Rob, you need to get this one right. If you are correct, we'll go to a tiebreaker. Not including the winner of the challenge, which loved one got to visit camp? Was it Boston Rob's brother or Laura Bonham?
It was Boston Rob's brother.
Correct. It was Boston Rob's brother. So we are tied 3-3. I have a tiebreaker question here. It's going to be the person who is closest to the correct answer. It's going to be a numerical answer. Andrea Belkey has the record for most votes against in Survivor history. How many votes have been cast against her in her three real Survivor seasons? So things like Survivor Williamsburg and Survivor Brooklyn do not count.
Oh yeah, because I was going to include those.
I thought you might. Sometimes people include those. So she has the most votes ever against her if you add up her three seasons. So it's not going. It is not Family Feud rules. It's whoever is closest. However, if you are both the same
Family
number,
Feud
number,
rules.
Feud rules.
What did I say? Family Feud. What am I thinking of? What show is this?
Price is Right. Yeah.
Price of Right rules. That's what I meant to say. I don't know why I said Family Feud. Because we're talking about the loved ones visit. That's why. If you're the same amount of numbers away, the lower number will win. If you guys say the same number, we'll come up with something how to break the tie. So, Rob, you can text me your answer.
Yeah, I'll put it in the Skype chat.
I'll put it in the Skype chat, and then AJ, I'll tell you when I have Rob's answer, and you can just tell me your answer when we are ready. Rob is typing. I have Rob's answer confirmed. Okay, so AJ, how many votes against in her three seasons does Andrea Belkey have?
Right, I don't count Will Wall's votes in Survivor Ohio State. I gotcha. let's go with 29.
29. Rob said 31. The correct answer is 36. So Rob, by a score of 4-3, wins the quiz. But very, very good matchup, back and forth, very close. Nice job, both of you.
Okay. AJ, that you know what I it was a good thing that we weren't counting all those fake Survivor season votes, or I would have been way over it.
I know it would have definitely tipped the scales.
Yes. Okay. but you took me to the brink, AJ.
To the edge, you might say.
To the edge, but this is I believe that this has been my best season yet on This Week in Survivor History. So you've gone up against a juggernaut.
Well, that's okay. As long as I don't have to go up against Jughead and the rest of the cast of Riverdale, I'll be fine.
Yeah, why do you watch the Riverdale?
I do not. I did watch the first season. It was so preposterous. I immediately cut that from my viewing schedule.
Okay, all right. Well, you should check it out in season three, because I had to watch it recently, and it was nuts.
Why did something happen in season three that showed up on a wheel somewhere?
Yep. That's what happened. All right. AJ Mass, can you tell the listeners what you have that you've been working on recently? All your various projects.
Sure. Well, from a podcast point of view, you can certainly, if you're into trivia that is not necessarily Survivor related, although perhaps a Survivor question could come up every now and again, my podcast, Beat My Guest, is available for you wherever you download your podcasts. It's a fun little one-on-one trivia game where I quiz a contestant in my hot seat and you play along at home and, well, all you have to do is beat my guest. Other than that, not doing a whole lot of much that isn't involved ESPN and writing about fantasy baseball. That's kind of where we are now. I'll probably be doing that every day from here on out through the end of September. So certainly if you're into fantasy baseball, you can check out. I have a weekly column on Mondays going up about points leagues. And, I'm always around somewhere.
And AJ, I didn't know you were such a big fan of Magicians.
I am a big fan of the Magicians. It's one of my favorite shows. I am related through marriage to one of the showrunners. And I talk about it a lot with him. But Quentin Coldwater is one of my favorite characters from any work of fiction that I've read. So I'm a big fan of the Magicians, yes.
Yeah. And how should a beleaguered Yankee fan like Jordan Kalish handle 2019?
You know, they're practically in first place now with half of their roster on the injured list. It's the IL. It's not the DL anymore. I wouldn't worry. I actually would not worry.
I'm really not. It's like the Double A Yankees, and we're doing pretty well. So I'm once the main characters, the so many of the players that are injured come back, I think we're going to be in good shape. And especially with how badly the Red Sox are doing, I really don't think the Rays are going to win the division, even though they did win 90 games last year. I'm pretty good with where the Yankees are right now.
Yeah. Is the CC Sabathia Jedi bobblehead the lamest Star Wars bobblehead that the Yankees could have come up with?
It's a weird choice. I don't know what he has to do with
it's pretty
with
lame.
The Jedi.
What did the Mets do? Like a Noah Syndergaard?
Yo, that was last night. That was huge. They've got Robinson 1 Kenobi coming up soon. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah. I got to say, even though I'm a huge Yankee fan, I would usually never rank something related to the Mets over something on the Yankees. I think the Noah Syndergaard Game of Thrones bobblehead sounds like a much cooler idea than the CC Jedi bobblehead.
If only Noah Syndergaard could actually pitch, that would be even better. But
I'm just waiting for the You Know Nothing JT Snow bobblehead.
All right. AJ, thank you so much for coming on with us.
I have one more question for AJ. Who would you guess is the first survivor you ever followed on Twitter?
First survivor I ever followed on Twitter is probably talking to him in this chat, probably.
you're correct. It was Rob Cisternino, followed by Stephen Fishback. Who do you think the first non-survivor know-it-alls survivor you followed on Twitter is?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I bet it wasn't Jeff Kent.
Was it Spencer Bledsoe?
It was. Good job.
Yeah.
Doesn't count for the quiz, but nice job.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. Of course, you can follow AJ on social media at AJ Mass. And of course, you could follow Jordan Kalish, star of so many podcasts, at Jordan Kalish. He was recently on the 32 Fans podcast breaking down the NFL draft because everybody tuned in on Thursday night and said, hey, I can't watch the draft until I know what noted draft Nick Jordan Kalish has to say.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was actually pretty happy with my mock draft. I didn't get as many picks exactly correct as I would have liked to, but whoever does in these mock drafts. But I would say position wise, I think I did pretty well. I got a lot of guys who went to the right team just in the wrong spot because of some trades. So I think it was pretty good for someone who's who I never claim to be an expert. I'm just someone who does research based on the work that the experts do, and I know what the positional what the team needs are for each position. So it was fun going on with Kevin Chester, who Chester now I think getting his fourth reference on Twitch this season.
All right, did you want to ask AJ about the new Giants quarterback?
AJ, what do you think of Daniel Jones at pick number six?
I think I know about as much about former Duke quarterbacks as I know about former Duke lacrosse players and swimmers, and I don't follow college football at all, so I know nothing.
Okay. Fair. Here's a question that the New York Giants drafted a Duke quarterback. Which Survivor Edge of Extinction alumni is also has gone to college at Duke?
I don't know the answer to that question. I was thinking of Culpepper's kid going to Syracuse, but other than that, I don't know.
A man who has coined a phrase many Giants fans will be saying for years to come. Come on, God. Come on, God. Come on, God. Keith, Duke undergrad. All right. AJ Massa, thank you so much. Jordan, thanks again as well. Of course, so much that has gone on already this week between the know-it-alls with Angelina. PG was here in the studio. The Mayo Jar was here on the feedback show. I just finished recording right before this podcast, the return of Robin Akiva. Need a podcast after a one-week hiatus where we talk to the listeners. Total Idea Request Live. live. We took your phone calls for ideas for things to go on the wheel. That's going to be up on Sunday night. The Snow It Alls with Stephen Fishback and, of course, The Wiggle Room coming on Monday. So a jam-packed week. Make sure you subscribe. And, of course, thanks to the patrons of Robin's Podcast who make all of this nonsense possible. For more about everything we have going on Patreon and becoming a part of our Patreon community, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.